Good afternoon. I'd like to apologize for my voice before I get started. I've been having a little trouble with it this year, coming and going. Lost my voice completely a couple weeks ago and got it back, and now it's kind of fading again. And I don't know if it's just bad allergies or if God is answering Noah's prayers for me to lose the ability to tell corny dad jokes. But either way, he's always telling me when I tell him a joke, "Dad, you got to put more funny in your joke." Kids are brutally honest that way. But I'm happy to be here, regardless, and able to stand up here and share God's word with you. When you hear the word teacher, what comes to mind? Do you picture someone sophisticated? Someone with articulate speech? Someone who's well-versed in the subject that they're teaching? And while it's true, all these things are important. I feel like sometimes we focus only on the words, only on the lessons, and we overlook other parts of the teacher's lives, the actions that they show in their everyday lives. And I want to explore the extraordinary way that Jesus taught his disciples, a way that still speaks to us today. See, Jesus didn't just speak the words that he taught, but he lived out every single word that he spoke. His life was a living sermon and a model of discipleship that hasn't lost its relevance in over 2,000 years. Jesus' example is a beacon for us today, guiding us in our walk with him. When we think about teaching, we often focus on the words, the lessons, the doctrines, and the truths. But I would say, teaching is so much more than just spoken words. It's reflected in the life that we lead. The greatest lessons are not confined to a classroom. They're lived out in our everyday moments. This was the very essence of Jesus' teaching. If you would turn to John chapter 1, looking at verse 14. "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory. Glory is the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." What does that mean? What does it mean the Word became flesh? Let's go back a little bit further in John chapter 1, starting in verse 1, to a verse that we all know well. "In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God." The Word, of course, here is referring to Jesus himself. He's the living embodiment of the Scriptures and the fulfillment of every prophecy and promise that was made by God. Jesus isn't just a messenger. He is the message. He's the Word made flesh. And through his life, death, and resurrection, he brings us the full revelation of God's grace and truth, fulfilling the entirety of God's Word. He lived amongst us, and he demonstrated what it means to follow God. His life was a sermon, and his actions were just as powerful as his words. When we get up here and preach, at the end of every lesson, we offer an invitation. An invitation to come give your life to God. An invitation to hear and believe, to be baptized, to live your life for God. There's several spots in Scripture where we see invitations. And I want to look at a few of those. Four of them in particular that Jesus extended to his disciples. The first invitation I would like to look at is in John chapter 1. And we're going to look at verse 39. When two of John the Baptizer's disciples were following Jesus, they ask him where he's staying, and he doesn't just give them directions. He tells them to come and see. He invites them not to a location, but to a personal encounter. Jesus wanted them to experience his life firsthand. Let's go back a little further, starting in verse 35. "The next day, again, John was standing with two of his disciples, and he looked at Jesus as he walked by and said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. Jesus turned and saw them following and said to them, "What are you seeking?" And they said to him, "Teacher, where are you staying?" And he said to them, "Come and you'll see." So they came and saw where he was staying. And they stayed with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak followed Jesus was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. See, the journey of following Jesus begins with coming and seeing, with that invitation to enter into a personal relationship with him, to experience his presence in our lives. It's not enough just to hear about Jesus from others. It's something that we must come and see for ourselves. It's something we must come and experience. Only by coming and seeing can you experience this presence in your life. The second invitation I'd like to look at is in Matthew chapter 4, starting in verse 18. After they had come and seen Jesus, Jesus invited them to come and be. Starting in verse 18, while walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. These are people who have made their livelihood doing one thing, and one thing they know how to do well, and that's catching fish. In a moment, they're told to leave this all behind and not to change an occupation, but to be invited to become more like Jesus. When we follow Jesus, we are transformed. The old self is gone, and a new self emerges. In Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 22, we read, "To put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life, and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put off the new self, to put on the new self, rather, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness." Jesus invites us to come and be. The third invitation we'll find in Matthew chapter 14 is come and do. Jesus doesn't stop with just those first two invitations. He also invited his disciples to come and do. He wanted them to put their faith into action. One such example we read of is when the 5,000 were fed in Matthew chapter 14 and starting in verse 15. "Now when it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, 'This is a desolate place, and the day is now over. Send the crowds away to go into the villages to buy food for themselves.' But Jesus said, 'They need not go away. You give them something to eat.'" Jesus taught that discipleship involves action. It's about putting your faith into practice. He calls us to step out into faith to serve others, to meet the needs of those around us, to give people the sustenance they need, which is Jesus himself. As James chapter 1 and verse 22 reminds us, be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. We are to take what we learn and act upon it. And the fourth invitation, come and go. In Luke chapter 9, starting in verse 1, he called the 12 together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. He sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal. After they had come and seen, after they had come and been, after they came to do, Jesus sent them out and gave them the power to do these works. This is the essence of the Great Commission. As Matthew 28:19 records, Jesus commands us to go and make disciples of all nations. Promising his presence until the end of the age, we are sent to make disciples and continue the work he began, never alone but with his constant presence. This is the model of discipleship that Jesus offers us. He calls us to come and see, to come and be, to come and do, and to come and go. It's a journey. It's a lifelong process. He walks with us every step of the way. So today I invite you to respond to His call, to come and see what Jesus has done for you, to come and be transformed by His love, to come and do the work that He has prepared for you, and to come and go, making disciples of all nations. Before we close, there are just three more invitations I'd like to look at. These are three invitations that He has given to everybody, to all of us. They're not mere calls to actions, but they are a call to be transformed, to be rooted deeply by His love and grace. We have an invitation to receive Jesus. In John chapter 1, verse 12, "But to all who did receive Him, who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God." This is a powerful declaration of God's incredible love and grace. In it we see the profound truth that when we receive Jesus, we truly believe in His name and acknowledge Him as our Savior. Then we're granted an extraordinary privilege to become children of God. This isn't just a symbolic gesture. It is a transformation of our very identity. We go from being lost and separated from God to being embraced as His sons and daughters. It means that through faith, we are adopted into His eternal family with all the rights and privileges that come with it. No longer are we defined by our past or our failures, but by the new life and hope that we have in Jesus. We have an invitation to abide in Jesus. John chapter 15 and verse 4. "Abide in Me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in Me." Jesus says, "Abide in Me, and I in you." This simple yet deeply meaningful statement is the key to a vibrant and fruitful Christian life. To abide in Jesus means to remain in close, intimate fellowship with Him, drawing our strength and guidance and sustenance from Him alone. Just as a branch cannot bear fruit unless it remains connected to the vine, we cannot bear spiritual fruit unless we're deeply rooted in Christ. It's not about occasional contact or a passing relationship. It's about continual daily dependence on Him. And lastly, we have an invitation to follow Jesus. In Luke chapter 9, in verse 23. He said to all, "If anyone would come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow Me." Jesus lays down a challenge that strikes at the core of what it means to be His disciple. He says, "If anyone would come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily." This isn't an easy path. It's a call to surrender our own desires, our own ambitions, our own comforts, for the sake of following Jesus. To deny oneself means to put aside our own will and to embrace God's will, even when it costs us. Taking up our cross daily is a vivid picture of the sacrifice and commitment required. It's a willingness to endure hardship, suffering, and even rejection for the sake of the gospel. This is not a one and done type thing. It's a commitment that we're called to follow every day. And in following Him, we find true life. Not holding onto our own way, but immersing ourselves into His purpose. God's invitation is before you today. Will you accept Jesus into your heart? Will you choose to abide in Him, to follow His path with unwavering faith? If you're ready to make that commitment, or if you're ready to return to that commitment, please come now as we stand and sing.